Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Let's get started. Tonight's shiur, we'll be discussing the topic of Matanos La'avyonim. We'll do maybe an idea in terms of background, appreciation for Matanos La'avyonim and what Purim is all about. And then we'll dive into the details of Matanos La'avyonim on a more, you know, specific level. Tonight's shiur should be Bizchus, Moshe Tzvi ben Chaya Esther, and also Basya Chaya Basima. They should be Matzeich and everything they do. And I want to share the following, I think, very, very beautiful thought. I heard this from my father-in-law, Rabbi Elisha Pirro. And he heard this from Rabbi Moshe Katz of the Chicago Torah Network, who heard it from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Kuttner. Now, why is that important? It's important to quote who you heard things from. It's also specifically, or especially important, to quote B'Shem Omro when it comes to Purim. Because the Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us in Daf Tes Vav, that kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro mevi ge'ula la'olam. When you quote something in the name of who you heard it from, so that brings the ge'ula to the world. Shenemar v'tomer Esther l'melech b'shem Mordechai. Now it happens to be, many people quote that Gemara, or that Maimar Chazal. People don't often quote who said it, which I think is funny or ironic, right? So say, oh, you should always quote who you heard it from, but they don't quote who the Baal Memra is. In the Gemara, it's a little bit of a trick question though, because in the Gemara, in Meseches Megillah, it's Omar Rabbi Chanina, but it's also a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And I think when it's quoted in Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, I think it might be authorless there. So you have it now. But either way, it's nice to know who says it. So the following is, again, I heard this from my father-in-law. So if you take a look at the Rambam makes two very important and I think interesting points. When he's discussing the different mitzvos hayom of Purim in Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah, and he's talking about Mishloach Manos, he's talking about the Chiv of Suda, drinking on Purim, things like that. So he says, when it comes to Matanos Le'evyonim, so Chayiv Lechalik La'aniyim B'yom HaPurim. It's important to give to Aniyim on Purim. You have to give money to them. And then he says like this in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin, 2:17. Mutav La'adam Laharbos B'matanos Le'evyonim Me'laharbos B'su'udaso U'bishloach Manos L'Re'ev. It's better, it's more important, it's more appropriate, I would say, to give, to increase the money that we give towards Matanos La'avyonim than increasing the Se'uda and increasing the Mishloach Manos. Better to give people Matanos La'avyonim than to increase, again, the Se'uda and Mishloach Manos. And then the Rambam says the following words. She'in shem simcha gedola. There's no ein shem simcha gedola u'mefa'ara. There's no more greater or more beautiful, glorious type of simcha, el l'sameach lev aniyim v'yisomim v'almanos v'gerim. Taking care of the people who are downtrodden. Taking care of maybe the have-nots. Taking care of people who need a little bit of chizuk. That's the greatest thing that you can do. That's the greatest form of simcha. And then the Rambam says, if one does that, they are domeh l'shechina. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of people who are shafel and lev nidkam with broken hearts, downtrodden people, just like Hashem does that, when we do that, so we are doma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Rambam in Hilchos Purim. It's important to give not just Matanos La'avyonim, but it's important to spend extra money on Matanos La'avyonim, more so than Su'uda and Mishloach Manos, and when we do that, we're like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no greater simcha than taking care of those people. The interesting thing is, though, if we turn to the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, so the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Yud Ches is discussing how we're supposed to go about the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. When it comes to kids, so kids used to get klayos ve'egozim u'migdanot. They used to get special treats, special candies, things like that. Nashim kona lehem begadim v'tachshitim noim kfim amono. Someone is supposed to buy, whether it's a parent, whether it's a spouse, supposed to buy a woman nice clothing and nice jewelry before Yom Tov. It happens to be, I was once at the mall with my wife before Yom Tov, and I saw one of my good buddies there, and he was walking around the mall with a dress on a hanger, and he was walking towards the checkout. I don't know if I told anybody this story. And he was walking towards the register, and I said, hey, what's going on? You know, we'll call him Ellie. It wasn't his name, but I said, hey, Ellie, what's going on? And he said, I'm like, oh, is your wife here? Like, sure, we'd love to see. No. I was like, oh, you're here by yourself? And he's like, calling his dress. I said, he goes, yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rambam says, I have to buy my wife a dress before Yom Tov. So I was like, what do you mean? What are you doing? And he said, I feel like she'll like this one. I was like, all right, great. You know, so, but he said, you have to be Mekayim the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. I thought, I always, every time I read this halacha, I think of my buddy. Anyway, so, and then when it comes to a man, v'hanoshim ochlem basar v'shosim yayin, she'in simcha ela b'basar v'in simcha ela b'yayin. The Rambam tells us, and these are relatively famous words of the Rambam, much has been written about it, that there's the greatest form of simcha, or maybe the only manner of simcha, is basar v'yayin. Not what I want to talk about now, though. The Rambam then continues, and he says, kishu ochel v'shose, when a person eats and drinks, chayv la ha'achil, you have to feed and provide food for a ger, a yosam, and an amana, and other aniyim as well. Right? Take care of those who don't have. Aval mishenoel dalsos chatzero v'ochel v'shose, hu ubana v'ishto v'inu ma'achil mashkel aniyim. If a person closes the door, locks the gates, shuts the windows, and doesn't let anybody in, and takes part in all of the gashmis on their own, and doesn't provide for anybody else, ein ze simchas mitzvah, ela simchas kreso. When a person does that, that's not a simcha shel mitzvah, that's not saying, ah, gevaldik simchas yom tov, but rather that's simchas kreso, that's taking care of your own belly. So, if we take a step back for a second and appreciate what just happened, the Rambam is really doing two different things. The Rambam initially was talking about the importance of taking care of people. In the context of Purim, he's saying if you take care of those people, so then you're like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas in Hilchos Yom Tov, so the Rambam is more in the negative. If you don't, so then you're just, you know, taking care of your own belly. You're not taking care of other people. So the question that Raputner asked is, why is it that in Hilchos Yom Tov, it's written in the negative, but in Hilchos Purim, it's written in the positive? So what Raputner basically ends up answering is that this Yisod is really reflective of a fundamental understanding of what Purim is really all about. Because if you look at the Jewish people at the time of Purim, we were characterized as nidkalim. We were depressed and rejected and totally despondent. We had no hope. It was a couple decades, years after Chorban Bayis Rishon, and we felt totally, totally lost in the galus. And the Megillah even tells us, Vayir Shushan Navocha, we were depressed, we were confused, we didn't know what we were doing. And the whole salvation, the Yeshua of Purim, which is Yeshua's Hashem Kerif Ayin, it was in a split second, but that salvation totally flipped everything on its head. Miyagol Nasimcha Umeeva LeYom Tov, as the Megillah writes. So we go from this total despondency and depression to rejoicing and celebration in the streets of Shushan. And that's what Purim is ultimately celebrating. It's the revival of the Jewish people, and it's the simcha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided. Hashem helped us out, gave us this Yeshua, and created an incredible joy among the Jewish people. And says the Rambam, that's what's happening when it comes to the mitzvos hayom, and specifically, matanos le'evyonim. The whole idea is to take care of the people who do not have. And that's why the Rambam says that it's more important to give matanos levyonim than to just have a suda for yourself, you know, maybe inviting other people, and giving mishloach manos. But by giving matanos levyonim and making sure everybody has what they need to have or what they ought to have, so then that's the greatest form of simcha, because you're taking someone who's downtrodden and you're elevating them, you're lifting them up, and you're making them feel like they have something. And that's really, ultimately, Rav Hutner went on to explain, and my father-in-law elaborates on this as well, is that the whole yisod, or the organizing principle of Purim, is that it brought happiness to the Jews in Persia at the time, in Shushan at the time of the Megillah, and our goal for many of the mitzvos that we have in Purim is to bring happiness to other Jews, whether it's Mishloach Manos, whether it's, you know, there's the minhag to give a dollar to someone who drops off Mishloach Manos, costumes for sure, maybe a little bit of drinking, things like that. I think there's a lot to that. And we'll see in just a little bit that the notion of matanos levyonim is really fundamentally different than tzedakah. We're going to point out differences as we go, but it's not just tzedakah, it's different. It's almost like simcha gelt. It's like we want to take care of people. And that's reflected in the halacha of kol haposhet yad. The idea is that anybody who asks for tzedakah, we don't scrutinize, you don't say, where's your green card, or where's your letter, where's your tu'udah, we don't ask any questions. But if a person asks for tzedakah, so then we give them, because we're just trying to take care of people. We're going to come back to that halacha in a little bit. But again, I think this is an important yisod to keep in mind for Purim Bechlal in general, and specifically with regards to the halacha, or the mitzvah, I should say, of matanos le'avyonim. So that's a little bit, again, from my father-in-law and from Rav Hutner. Let's now move more specifically into the world of matanos le'avyonim. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simen Tav Reish Tzadi Dalet, Chayev kol adam liten lefachos shtei matanos Lishnei Aniyim. A person has to give at least two matanos, two gifts, to two poor people. Now, a big question, we're not going to deal with this too much, but there is a question, who's obligated in this mitzvah? So it seems like everybody is, men, women, maybe even children. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's first talk about a poor person. Rachmano Litzlan, is a poor person obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? So the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah says, Afilu ani hamisparnes min hatzedakah, even if a poor person who is sustained, who's taken care of from money of tzedakah, has to give Mishloach Manos. And the Prima Gadim even says that they should be machlif, an ani should find another ani, and they should basically just like trade the dollars back and forth, and whatever money they're giving, trade it back and forth, and that's how they can fulfill the chiyuv of matanos avyonim. Everybody has to be giving something to someone. Others don't like that. The Pri Chadash was very against this, and he thought it was kind of like a senseless mitzvah for an ani. Not me, you know, God forbid, but someone who's an ani, who doesn't have, so they're going to be taking just to give away. He felt like it didn't really make sense for someone who's in need of financial assistance to go ahead and give away his money. But lemaisa, we paskin, that an ani is going to have to give, and that's das kama achronim that tzarich lasis mimashin nasnu lo. Says the Mishnah Berurah that many poskim assume that a poor person has to give whatever is given to him, he has to give a little bit from that. Okay, so that's in terms of that. When it comes to women and their obligation of matanos le'avyonim, so the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say women are obligated in, like we said last week, mishloach manos, and also matanos le'avyonim. They're obligated in both. Let me just read the words inside. V'isha chayeves b'matanos le'avyonim u'mishloach manos ki'ish. So the Ramah says that a woman is obligated just like a man with regards to Mishloach Manos. Now, the Magen Avram, and we quoted this last week, if I'm not mistaken, in the context of Mishloach Manos, but the Magen Avram says he didn't really see this. He felt that this was not the practice for a married woman or a single girl living at home to give Mishloach Manos or Matanos Le'avyonim. And he assumed that the Ramah was really referring to a widow or a divorcee. But that's really not the case. The Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh lahachmir, that a married woman is obligated in matanos le'avyonim. The Aruch HaShulchan says a married woman is obligated in matanos le'avyonim. And that's related to what we quoted from last week in Machlokas and the Achronim. But many answer, the Shvos Yaakov, the Berchi Yosef, and others point out from the words, Kiblu ha-Yehudim, right? Meaning, let's say like this. If you want to say that women aren't chayiv in Mishloach Manos or in Matanos Levyonim because the pasuk says Ish L'Rei Ehu, and you want to be, you know, makbid or medayik in those words Ish, so the other achronim come along and say no, because if you continue on in the Megillah, it says Kiblu HaYehudim. HaYehudim means everybody, all the Jewish people, everyone were, everybody accepted upon themselves the chayiv, all the mitzvos hayom, Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim, and because of that, a woman is obligated in Matanos Levyonim. If a woman is married, the question is she allowed to be Yotzei her Chiv of Matanos Levyonim through her husband's giving? And Poskim assume yes, because we view them as one and the same, and more often than not, their money is together. There's like a joint bank account or something like that. And really, it's fine. A husband can give on her behalf, and it's not a problem. That being said, Poskim point out that a husband should tell his wife when he's going to give on her behalf. He should notify her saying, you know, honey, sweetie, I'm going to go ahead and give matanos le'avyonim now, and I'm going to have you in mind. So that's with regards to aniyim and women. There is a discussion with regards to children. Are children obligated in Mishloach Manos? So the question is, let's say like this. First of all, let's start with a child who's above the age of bar or bat mitzvah. We would assume, since they're over the age of bar bat mitzvah, they are obligated in mitzvahs, just like they're obligated in other mitzvahs as well. The challenge, or the question here, I should say, is if they are somech al shulchan aviv, meaning if they're reliant upon, they're dependent upon their parents for all things related to money, they don't have their own money, so then they would not be obligated in matanos le'avyonim. The Aruch HaShulchan points out, and others point this out as well, Rishmul Kamenetsky, again in his Sefer Kovetz Halachos and Hilchos Purim, says the assumption is that most teenagers, Bizman Hazeh, have some sort of money. Right? They have, you know, listen, for the most part, yes, they are dependent upon their parents, but they, you know, whether they're waitering for the different, you know, whatever they do on Shabbos, making babysitting, I don't know, mowing lawns, I don't know what kids do so much nowadays for money, but the point is if they have a couple bucks to their name, so then that would obligate them in the mitzvah of matanos le'avyonim. What is interesting is if a child is under the age of bar bat mitzvah, are they obligated in chinuch, or are parents obligated in chinuch to be machanech their children towards matanos le'evyonim? The Prima Gadim says yes, kids are chayiv, just like any other mitzvah deraisa derabanan. The Prima Gadim says, yeah, younger children are obligated in matanos le'evyonim. Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky actually comes along and says they are not obligated in matanos le'evyonim. When he was pressed to kind of explain what the difference is, why would a child be putter from matanos le'evyonim, right? We know that when it comes to sukkahs, there are chinuch sets of arba minim, and very often we have younger children involved in different mitzvos, even if it's just on a chinuch level. So why is it that he paskind that when it comes to matanos le'evyonim, children are putter? So he basically explained that when it comes to many mitzvos that, you know, are commonly practiced on a chinuch level, so it's an action-based mitzvah, and if a person doesn't have that item, if a person doesn't have dalad minim, so we'd say onus rachmana patre. Right? We'd say, okay, they're off the hook, they couldn't afford it, they didn't have it, not a big deal. When it comes to matanos le'evyonim, so the whole discussion about a person's obligation revolves around the question of, do they have their own money? Are they somech al shulchan aviv? Are they reliant upon their parents? Or do they have their own money to themselves, to their own name? Because of that, he felt matanos le'evyonim is fundamentally different than all other mitzvos, where we would say, yes, if you can, then they should be doing it on a chinuch level. Whereas when it comes to matanos le'evyonim, he thought it would be different. Okay? So many poskim on a lemaisa level say younger children are not chayiv in matanos le'evyonim. So that's, again, let's just quickly chazer what we said. We started off with a machlokas in the Rambam. What's the nature of matanos le'evyonim and the simcha of Purim? He was much more positive in explaining the simcha of Purim. When you help out people who are downtrodden, you're doma l'shechina. Whereas when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov, if you don't help out downtrodden people, so then you're just, you know, it's a simchas kreso. You're just taking care of your own belly. And we explain that the whole nature of Purim b'chlal and matanos le'evyonim b'frat is elevating, being mechazik, the people who are a little bit more dejected and downtrodden. We spoke about who is obligated in the mitzvah of matanos le'evyonim. We spoke about poor people, we spoke about women, and we spoke about children. Any questions up until here? Feel free to unmute yourself or to write in the chat. No, we're good? Okay, fantastic. Feel free to throw it in, though, in the chat. How much, or let's say like this, what must be given, right? How much does a person have to give to be yotzei de chovaso of matanos le'evyonim? So the Mishnah Berura says, based on a ritva in Maseches Megillah, that any tiny amount of money, any single coin, would be sufficient. You can really give anything that's like a sheva pruta, a penny, would be sufficient. He also points out that food would suffice. If you give food, that's going to be okay, but we'll come back to that in just a second. So again, you can give any small denomination. I heard from Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, I read in an article, he quoted Rav Avadya Yosef. I didn't see the sefer inside, but in Chazon Avadya, Rav Avadya understands that this means that the smallest currency would be sufficient. So in America, it could be a penny. In Israel, it can be, you know, 5 agurot or something like that. Really, a tiny, tiny amount of money would be sufficient. And that's how Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky paskins as well. The Sharei Tshuva, next to the Mishnah Berurah, points out, based on the Sefer Zer Yaakov, that one must give an amount of food that is equivalent to three eggs. Three kebetzim is sufficient, or that's what's required to give as matanos le'evyonim, but it seems like the consensus of most poskim is not that. It seems like most poskim go like the Mishnah Berurah, that a tiny amount is sufficient. For sure, $1 would be enough. Giving $1 to two separate aniyim would be sufficient. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his Sefer Halicho Shlomo, says that obviously a matana chashuva, the more you give, the better it is. And he says that all would agree that giving as much as you possibly can would be ideal. That's what we should try to do when it comes to matanos le'evyonim. I know growing up, I called a friend before this year. I was like, how do we measure what a kibbutz is? I know when it comes to Pesach, we'll be talking about Pesach Amir Tashem in a couple weeks. Right? The CRC sends out that whole guideline of what's a kibbutz, what's a this, what's a that, and you're like measuring your matzah and your maror and your everything against these the Jewish Action, the OU's magazine and the CRC's magazine, and depending on how much you like matzah or don't like matzah, you go based on, you know, okay, fine. We don't need to get into that now, but What's a kibetza? So again, lamaisa, it seems like we don't paskin like that, but I remember growing up that Rabbi Taub Shlita, Rabbi Michael Taubison from Teaneck and YU, used to tell us that we should really give enough to provide a meal. Right? The idea is, and Poskim say, you're allowed to give food as matanos lavionim also. We think as food as mishloach manos and dollars, money as matanos lavionim, but Poskim say you're allowed to give food as matanos lavionim. And the idea is you want to be able to provide, let's say, money or even food so they can have a suda. Right? You want to take care of people who might not have, you want to give them what they can, you know, have a suda with. Based on that, Rabbi Taub has told us that you should give what's like, what's the word I'm looking for? You should give sufficient funds for to cover a meal. And he told us, if you went across the street, when we were in MTA or YU, he said, if you went across the street to the pizza shop, how much does two slices, you know, fries and a drink cost? Or something like that, right? Or two slices and a drink. $7, $7.50, $10. He thought giving $10 to two different people is what the ideal form of the mitzvah should be. As long as you can provide a meal for them, that's what Rabbi Taub told us. We already said the Mishnah Berurah says giving food is okay. There is a discussion about giving checks, writing checks for matanos le'avionim. How does that work? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us that whatever you give as matanos le'avionim needs to be fit to be used and benefited from Purim, or on Purim, excuse me, itself. So therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that giving a check counts, because you can go to the bank and you can cash a check. So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky said, okay, but let's say the bank is closed. Let's say Purim falls out on Sundays, right? Banks are closed on Sundays. So how do you do that? How can you just give a check? So he feels that if you give a check, even if the banks are closed, that's sufficient. It counts as matanos lavionim, because a person walks around with a check made out to cash, so they feel like he can either use that to bargain, or he feels like more of a mensch because he has money coming to, you know, coming to his pocket very soon, and because of that, giving a check would count for mishloach matanos lavionim. A very important thing to make note of is that the matanos lavionim money that we're giving cannot come out of our miser funds. If a person, not everybody has a miser fund, not everybody gives miser, but those who are careful to give miser 10% of their earnings. So one of my brothers-in-law told me that he has a separate bank account, right? He has his Chase account, his checking account, and he created underneath his checking account a miser account. So basically on the 10th of every month, or whatever it is, whenever he gets his automatic payment, direct deposit, that's what I'm looking for, when he gets his direct deposit, so 10% of his direct deposit goes into another bank account, and that's his miser money. When it comes to matanos le'avyonim, the Mishnah Berurah says, Vihine hashte matanos tsarich litin mishalo velo mishal meiser. You have to give it from your own money, and it can't be from meiser. Anything that you then go ahead and give in addition to the initial, let's say like this. If we're going to follow Rabbi Taubus, we should try to give $20, $10 to two different people. Once you go beyond your $20, that money can come from the meiser, but you have to make sure, again, that the money that you're giving as matanos lavionim is not coming from meiser. Now, we're going to see that this is important because the notion of matanos lavionim is different than tzedakah. We already quoted earlier on when we were talking about those two Rambams and this idea from Rav Huttner that matanos lavionim is not classic, it's not classic tzedakah. It's almost simcha geld. It's taking care of Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, making sure that everybody has what they have for their Purim Suda. It's fundamentally different than tzedakah. And we're going to see now, there's another question. And with regards to how and to whom should it be given, the matanos lavionim, that is. So what's the deal with anonymous matanos lavionim? Right? Last week we spoke about this important chakira, this distinction in the world of mishloach manos. We said, what's the nature, what's the purpose of mishloach manos? Is it to increase, right, to make sure that the Jews are connecting, to be marbe reyos, increase the friendship and the kinship amongst Jewish people? Or is it more simply to provide food for the Purim Suda? That was the chakira we made. And when it came to anonymous mishloach manos, so the Ksav Sofer says mishloach manos should not be given anonymously, because if it's given anonymously, so you're not creating any relationship. I don't know who dropped it off in my front porch, so I don't know who to say thank you to, who to feel closer towards. So he says, based on that, giving anonymous matanos levionim would also not be sufficient. However, other poskim don't like this Ksav Sofer, because they say that chakira, this idea of being mar bereyos, of enhancing and strengthening the relationships, is something unique to mishloach manos, and it has nothing to do with matanos levionim. Matanos levionim is simply about providing the funds. Rav Yosef Engel, one of the great Achronim, has another point. He says, since the mitzvah is titled Matanos Le'evyonim, he says you actually have to inform the recipient of the gift. Now, why is that? Because based on a Gemara, it's based on a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud, but he says anytime you give a matana to someone, the Gemara says is you have to inform the person of the matana. You have to let them know that you gave them a matana. So he says based on that, you can't give anonymous matanos le'evyonim. Rav Shmuel then points out, though, he doesn't like this, and he quotes others who say this as well, but he says, no, we don't accept that. Yes, the money we give is called matanos le'evyonim, and it's called the matana, but says Rav Shmuel that we only learn the actual amount of what is to be given and not the nature of how it's given. We don't learn that you have to inform a person about the money, right? But we simply learn what's the minimum shear, what's the minimum amount of money to be given. So when it comes to anonymous matanos le'evyonim, I would say that it's probably okay to give it anonymously. An interesting question. I don't know anybody here. I don't know if anybody here is supporting people on a regular basis. And if you do, that's unbelievable. Ashrecha. But The Aruch HaShulchan points out. That if a person supports a person or a family, let's say, over the course of the year, you send them money every single month, and they can use that money for whatever they need. So then, says the Aruch HaShulchan, people mistakenly think that their matanos le'evyonim can be given to someone that they're supporting anyway. And he says this is incorrect. He doesn't like this at all. And you can't give to your sort of your normal or regular sort of tzedakah recipient. You have to find other aniyim to give towards. I think this is a very interesting thing that happens to be very, very halach l'maisa. There's a discussion about giving yeshivos or mostos or different, let's say, organizations, right? Very often, for sure in Chicago, or growing up in Teaneck, I remember this also a little bit, or you have like these kids who jump out of like the limos or these cars or whatever it is, and they come running in, they're collecting for, I don't know, Odio Sevichai, Yacha, this, that, the other thing, right? Amazing, amazing organizations. The question is, let's say you have $20 to your name, and you can now give your $10 to two different organizations. Are you Yotze, your chiyuv matanos le'evyonim, by giving to organizations? So he says that actually you are not Yotze matanos le'evyonim by giving to organizations. Now, why is that? So he explains based on the Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ritva in Meseches Megillah, because they talk about matanos le'evyonim not just as a din in tzedakah, but a din in simcha, like we've been saying this entire time. And you have the ability, or you really have, we'll call it the opportunity, right? The special opportunity to be mesameach, another Jew, to elevate another Jew. Again, like we said, miyago in the simcha, me'eva liyom tov, to take a Jew out of their, you know, whatever emotional state they're in, whatever financial state they're in. Based on that, the focus is on the Jew. The focus is on the individual. You want to be mechazik and mesameach, an individual. Giving to an organization is a beautiful thing to do. And your yotzei achiv tzedakah, and it's a special, special thing. But says Rav Shmuel, based on many achronim, that you shouldn't think that counts towards your matanos le'evyonim. So again, just an important thing to point out. Give to mostos, give to yeshivas, give to these unbelievable organizations, but make sure you also give two sets of $10 to two individual aniyim. Now again, like we mentioned, it's important to point out this idea of kol haposhet yad. And with this, we're going to conclude. Well, I guess we'll end a little bit early tonight. But the Yisod Shoresh Ha'avoda says a very, very important thing is when it comes to Kol HaPosheit Yad. Right? There's this notion, again, Kol HaPosheit Yad means anybody who sticks their hand out to give to you. So you're supposed to give to them. You should make sure, just give. You don't check, you don't ask if they're legit, if they're not legit, you give the money away. So he says the following. Afshi yodim bo sheino tzarech litol tzedakah nosnim. Even if you know 100% that this person does not need tzedakah, still, you should give to them. When a person employs and uses the midah of vatranos to say, you know what, I'll forgive, I'll be fine, I'm not going to be makbid on another person, I'm just going to give, I'm just going to help another Jew. He says, whatever that means, he says, based on the Arizal, that there's an incredible roshem in Shemayim. When we don't judge other Jews, when we don't ask questions on other Jews, and another Jew is sticking out their hand to us, we say, okay, fine, I'll give him. Many of the Sfarim, the Sfasemis, and others point out that that's why Purim is a day of unbelievable tefillah. It happens to be, I was once dating a girl, not my wife, So I apologize to my grandparents-in-law who might hear this, but it's a good story nonetheless. But I remember I was once dating a girl, and we were talking about Purim, and I said, what are you going to do on Purim? Like, what happens in Stern on Purim? And she told me that she doesn't go to sleep Leil Purim until she says all of Sefer Tehillim. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot firmer than me. And she looked at me like, what, you don't say all of Tehillim before you go to sleep on Purim? And I was like, actually, no, I don't. But she said, Purim is such a day of tefillah, how can you not finish all of Tehillim on Purim? Once, maybe even twice. But where does this come from? So many of this firm point out that Kol HaPoshed Yad, right, Hashem acts just like us, Mida Keneged Mida. When we don't judge Jews and we don't ask questions and a Jew stretches out their hands and say, please help me, and we don't ask any questions, you say, hey, we want to help you, and we give money, so then we can turn to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and say what? We can ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for whatever we want, and we can almost expect a Kaddish Baruch Hu to respond to us the same way that we do towards other Jews, right? When we don't judge other Jews and we don't ask questions on other Jews and we look to help other Jews, so then we can have that same sort of Kol HaPoshed Yad mentality vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then, yeah, we can expect the Kol HaPoshed Yad. Now we're reaching out our hands to Him, Kaviyachol, and we expect Him to kind of respond in kind, and I think that's a very important idea. The less judgmental we are, the more welcoming we are as Jews. Accept everybody and help everybody on Purim, so we can expect the Kaddish Baruch Hu to do the same to us. So those are a couple of thoughts, I guess, behalach and b'machshava, with regards to Matanos Le'evyonim. I hope everybody has a fantastic rest of the week, and hopefully I'll see everybody on Monday night. We'll talk about many, many halachos that deal with Mikra Megillah. Okay? Awesome. Everybody have a fantastic night. Thank you.